Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 9th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Wow, Stephen Miller's in the news, ladies and gentlemen. I mentioned this last hour, doing a great job. He appeared on Liberty Roundtable Live as he was a surrogate for the Donald at the time. Now he's a well-known high-level Trump administration official. And Stephen Miller is referring to the press in an interesting way. I haven't heard this term before, but I like it. I'm going to start using it. Stephen Miller gets the credit. Amber Athey writes the piece, Kurt. Headline, Stephen Miller, extreme, not mainstream media. So the extreme media, Kurt, is what he's calling it now, and he's spot on, whether you call it yesteryear, you know, the prostitutes, whether you know, prostitutes, whatever term you want to use, the lamestream press. He's saying it's the extreme media, not the mainstream media. And I think Stephen Miller's spot on, Kurt.
Sounds like a good phrase for it, got to coin a phrase, right?
The extreme, not mainstream media. Boy, is he right about that.
It's good.
All right, there's a new report out, Kurt, calling on Jeff Sessions to end the EPA's $1.5 billion slush fund. Did you see this, Kurt?
No.
Tim Pierce has the article. So what you got is an EPA, an unconstitutional, rogue, weaponized government agency with a $1.5 billion slush fund. And folks are saying, hey, Donald and Jeff, you know, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general up there, right? You guys ought to get rid of that $1.5 billion slush fund for this unconstitutional, rogue, weaponized government agency. And this just proves when I say these well-funded, weaponized agencies are against Congress, they're against the president, they're against the people, they just do whatever they want, they're judge, jury, and executioner, they're out of control. This headline just proves it. Report calls on Sessions to end EPA $1.5 billion slush fund. Can you imagine that, Kurt? No wonder these agencies just run amok. They're flush with cash, and nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, wouldn't it be part of draining the swamp to shut down all these slush funds, Kurt? Wouldn't that be one of your first moves? If they don't have any money, they can't carry out their bidding,
right? It sure seems like it to me. Yeah, most of them will have the black, what do they call that, where they have
black
this money. Well, they have a black budget or a, you know, an off the record budget, you know. So they've got all that too. But at least we could quit giving them. Well, Congress could quit funding them. You know?
Anyway, I find that article interesting, though. No wonder we have such trouble with the EPA and the BLM and the BATFE and the IRS and the FDA. And I mean, I could just go on and on and on. The Education Department. Literally, the Education Department's been armed by our government. And they literally kick in doors like rogue thugs, Kurt. We got a video of it up on the freedomcoalition.com if you want to go check it out and don't believe me. They literally kick the door in of a black man. Why? Because his ex-wife didn't pay a student loan. I mean, it's absolutely out of this world.
Well, that's perfectly understandable, you know.
Well, I mean, they ought to kick in Kurt's door because she didn't pay the loan, too.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All I'm telling you is, why do we have the Education Department armed in the first place?
Over the days of Marshall Dillon.
Well, over the days that actually abolished the Education Department like they've been promising to for the last 50 years.
Good point.
All right, Donald Trump, I told you that he's a hawk, folks. He's surrounding himself with generals. He's funding the military big time. His whole goal wasn't to reduce the size and scope and budget of government like he ought, but his goal is to take the money from, quote, domestic use to international global war use, all under the guise of beating al-Qaeda or whatever latest ISIS or whatever latest term you want to use for these people. Anyway, his goal is to crank up the military-industrial complex. Well, anyway, Trump fans the flames on escalating tensions with North Korea. Now Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, is trying to walk back Donald's North Korea threats, says the Huffington Post, Kurt. Do you want to comment on that?
So that Tillerson is trying to say, hey, relax just a little bit here. Let's not, at least to me, that sounds kind of the good cop, bad cop routine.
Amen to that, sir.
You know.
So you got the Donald escalating, going, man, we're going to take out North Korea if they don't get stop this garbage. And then Tillerson's like, no, settle down there, Donald. We're going to go ahead and work together. And what do you think is going to be the outcome of this, Kurt? Who do you think is going to win, Rex or Donald?
I think they're hoping to play it together. Maybe if possible, and this is a big if possible, Kim Jong-un or whatever his name, the North Korean guy, will read the tea leaves and say, hey, this isn't really a good thing for me to do. And, I'll play a little nicer.
But what is North Korea doing? See, we got to kind of talk about that. What are they doing, Kurt?
Well, I think they want to get their people's focus off of their hunger and their deprived situation because of the communist kind of programs that they run. So if they can basically threaten the world's big shots, superpowers, or whatever you want to call them, then it makes the people, it gives the people something to look at instead of, the problems they already face.
I think you're right as rain, but what are they actually doing, or what's the beef that the Donald has? You know what?
Well,
it is,
one of the main things that I've heard them talk about lately is they say that they've got a way to I use the word tape, just kind of kidding around about it, but, to attach some kind of a small nuclear device to the tip of the missiles, these missiles they've been firing off, and so then they can deliver them to places like, our big cities. Now, when you hear about these sanctuary cities and then hear about this, you think, well, that's not much of a sanctuary place. I think more of a sanctuary place would be to head to the country, if you ask me. But anyway, so apparently there's some
Do you think North Korea should be able to do this, Kurt?
That they should be able to say, look, I'm gonna send a missile to Boston?
No. That they should say, I'm going to build the missile in the first place. This is about building and testing a missile first, right?
Well, that's part of it, I think they've been doing, but they've also been saying, hey, they're threatening our
so you're saying, hey, they're trying to build a missile.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it have long distance payloads to possibly, threaten America. And we're saying, hey, they can't have that rhetoric and they can't do that, right?
Well, one of the other parts that they're doing is, apparently we've got quite a concern that they're going to, nail Japan or Guam or maybe
let's talk about
South
a couple of
Korea.
These things, Kurt, for a minute. Do we have threats like the Koreans do, Kurt, do you think?
Do you mean do we threaten other people?
Yeah.
I think we are, well, we're basically doing that right now in that we're saying, look, if you, do one more thing like this, the president has said pretty much yesterday, then you're going to get some bad results,
So John Bacon over at USA Today writes the piece, the headline really from the Donald. President, quote, North Korea risks, quote, fire and fury. Now, we're threatening fire and fury, Kurt.
I think, as far as I can tell, though, this was after North Korea. Basically, their leader said, hey, we're going to send a missile your way, you know, basically. So
my question is, who gave the first threat, and when did it really start, Kurt?
When did it really start? Yeah. I mean, we've been doing this Korea thing for, you know, like 60, 70 years, I think
there was like a Korean War, wasn't there? Something like that?
Yeah, or probably they called it Korean conflict, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, because we never declared war. Good constitutional point. Kurt's spot on. I got a question. Did we pick sides in that war, Kurt? Let's talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
That ain't my style,
said Casey.
Like what?
The umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
I think I'll just ignore it.
And the umpire said,
right to.
Now something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
follow through!
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for Mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I think North Korea is out of line threatening people. There's no doubt about it. But I also think the United States threatens people big time, too. And, you know, what would happen if I said, hey, why are we doing the same thing we're saying they can't do? Trump fans the flames on escalating tensions with North Korea. Tillerson tries to walk back Donald's comments. All right. President, quote, North Korea risks fire and fury. Now you would say, well, no, we're just responding to North Korea's escalation here, Kurt. My response, it goes back to the Korean War, I think it is, or the Korean conflict, or whatever you want to call this thing, where we never declared war and violated the Constitution in the first place. But I think we picked sides in that war, didn't we, Kurt?
Well, you know, as far as I could tell, it was basically the communists, you know, backed the North Koreans and the...
we backed the South Koreans.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's now, right. Who are the communists that backed the North Koreans, Kurt? Just to kind of be clear here.
Well, you know, typically what you've seen in the past is the China-Russia thing.
Okay.
Right?
So now we're most favored nation trading partners with China. We've been great friends with Russia, but now we're going to escalate tensions there. We're going to reject the North Koreans, but we're going to back the South Koreans. In fact, not only did we pick sides in the war and fund an unconstitutional war that kicked all this stuff off, or at least the latest escalations as the round and round and round deception goes. We literally had troops over there for, what, 60 years, Kurt?
Yeah, I ever knew that.
We have troops over there. We pick sides in the war. We're mad at them because they're saying they might try to attack us. But we're suggesting that they'll risk fire and fury if they do so. I'm not so sure that we hold the moral high ground. Are you, Kurt?
Well, I'd say it's difficult for us to say we hold the moral high ground in almost anything.
Tragic, but true.
You know,
we got an idea.
What we need to do is make sure that we, you know, get out of other people's countries, take care of ours, you know, walk softly, you know, that whole thing. You know, the carrying a big stick idea is simply to make sure that you you can defend yourself if needed, but only you use the military for defense purposes.
Do you think if I say to a country you're risking fire and fury when we have troops stationed right across their border, do you think that would, like, work on your idea to kind of walk softly, Kurt, you think?
Doesn't seem to me that way.
Now, while we're battling Russia, while we're battling the North Korean scenario, we got another battle going on, Kurt. Right, the White House now weighs privatizing Afghan war, writes USA Today. So Donald wants to privatize the Afghan war. You cool with that, Kurt?
They want to privatize the Afghan war. You know, it seemed like we could privatize, you know, in other words, get the government out of anything. When they say privatize, though, a lot of times what they mean is they want to fund somebody like Blackwater or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
And by the way, the article goes into exactly what you're talking about, Kurt. Go ahead.
And so I'm not for, you know, us promoting war. You know, we need to get out of those places and follow what the Prince of Peace would teach us to do, and be ready if needed to defend ourselves. But on the other hand, you know, promote peace.
The only way private contractors would go into war on the behalf of the United States is if we pretend we privatize it. In other words, we let private companies take over the day-to-day operations and we fund it with government taxpayer dollars, Kurt. I reject that whole scenario because it's a lie on what's called privatization. Turning it over to Blackwater just means you'll get high-paid mercenaries. We have no authority to do that. We have no business being over there. We have no business funding privatization or private companies to go over there at all. It's disaster on steroids. So while we say North Korea risks fire and fury, while we escalate tensions and sanctions and everything against Russia, while we ratchet up the North Korean scenario, we now want a long-term stay in Afghanistan and privatize the longest war that's ever existed in the United States history when it's not even a declared war in the first place, Kurt. Where's the Constitution? I just don't get it. They're too busy talking about the Constitution, but they don't seem to want to obey it there. I reject the whole scenario. We need to promote peace, not war, and we need to de-escalate, not escalate tensions everywhere around the world. And the Founding Fathers said we need to avoid foreign entanglements and have a humble foreign policy. All right, Foxconn's in the news, Kurt. They're considering building another plant in the Midwest. Did you see this?
No. Well, where is this one?
So you know they're going to build the first one in Wisconsin, right?
Well, that's what they talked about.
And I talked to you about massive
money for that,
taxpayer subsidies for it. Well, the second one's going to go into Michigan. And this is no exception. The Wisconsin deal requires up to $3 billion in subsidies from state taxpayers. Put another way, they're contemplating a tax package 50 times bigger than any other one ever contemplated.
Wow.
Up to $3 billion in subsidies from state taxpayers.
You know, I guess Foxconn's real name is Honhai, H-O-N-H-A-I.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Well, I was just,
are you just leaving the story?
No, I was just looking up this part about Foxconn.
Okay,
you know,
yeah,
which
Foxconn?
Is part of this story.
Who's this guy?
They say, you know, according to Google, that Foxconn's, you know, real name is Honhai, HONHAI Precision Industry Company, and it trades as Foxconn Technology Group. It's a Taiwanese multinational electronics contract manufacturing company headquartered in, Taiwan, imagine that. And on this deal about Wisconsin, and then the new one, where did you say it was going to be?
Well, this one's going to be in Michigan. The other one's in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So you've got some big governments that want these guys to locate there, right? That's what I see.
Supposedly, I find it disaster, though, Kurt. The liberals are all giddy. The conservatives are all giddy. They think this is the best thing. Donald's delivering on his promise to bring back jobs, Kurt.
Hmm. They say they've got 1.3 million employees. They've got $136.1 billion in revenue. Pretty good-sized company, Sam.
Well, that's because it's subsidized by you-know-who, Kurt.
Yeah.
Do you know who?
Probably you and me, it sounds like.
Well, we're funding it now, too, but you know who we're partnering with, don't you?
Well, you mean besides our federal government?
Yeah.
Who would that be?
Well, isn't that the Apple? Communist Chinese government, Kurt?
Well, they say Taiwan.
Yeah, but Taiwan's part of China, remember? Now, the Taiwanese think they're a separate country, but we, the United States, have not been willing to state that. We say that it's part of China due to our favored nation trading status for the communist Chinese, right, Kurt? Remember, those are the currency manipulators that we're not really going to call the manipulators anymore? Those guys.
As far as I know, the Trump administration basically, made a call and recognized Taiwan, the Republic of Taiwan. I think Hong Kong is the one.
Yeah, but our policy, Kurt, is still a one-China policy.
Well, it all depends on who's making the policy, I suppose, and who you consider.
Well, I'll tell you who makes the policy is those monsters. Who fund it and those who create the deals. For example, the most favored nation trading status for the communist Chinese, who set that up? The answer is Congress and the president passed it, right? They passed it and funded it. So, I mean, you and I can say that, well, Donald, called the Taiwanese leader and therefore it's separate. But with all of our funding and all of our international aid and everything else, we treat China and Taiwan as one country. I don't believe we should. But I think we do, don't we? How does the United States view China and Taiwan?
I guess they say that Foxconn wants to cultivate ties with Wisconsin ginseng growers. I didn't even know. Why would Foxconn need to be working with the ginseng growers? Do they use ginseng in those little apple things that they use?
Kurt. They just want to be in every business under the sun. Hey, anytime you can get government money as subsidies for any business, you'll be involved in it, won't you, Kurt? If that's your
I guess
MO?
Wisconsin leads the nation in ginseng production. I didn't know that either. I mean, they grow a lot of stuff, but imagine that.
Yeah, you look up United States policy, China, Taiwan, and see what you get. Now, by the way, the reason I bring this up is Donald could stand up more and create that change Kurt's pointing to. Donald's done better than most. I'll give credit where credit's due. But I don't see a sea change in how we deal with China and Taiwan, do you?
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. North Korea has responded as expected to the UN Security Council's unanimous imposition of tough new sanctions on that rogue state. The dictator there and his government are blaming the U.S. for the sanctions and promising, quote, thousand-fold revenge. The regime is known for making outlandish threats against the U.S. and its allies. The threats, though, have been taken seriously because the country does have nuclear weapons. Many observers of North Korea say it's sad that that country has become so isolated it doesn't know anything about the rest of the world. Under proposed legislation, multinational corporations would be unable to use the H-1B visa program for replacing American workers with foreign ones. Under the visa program, workers can come into the states and stay up to 6 years. Many American citizens have lost their jobs because wealthy companies have found it cheaper to hire foreign workers. Under the legislation, American workers would not be replaced by those holding those visas. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So the bottom line is the one-child policy, or not one-child, I'm sorry, the one-China policy is a very complicated scenario, but it has to do with the Chinese Civil War. Taiwan broke off, and we used to support Taiwan and said they were the controllers of China. Then we switched to Beijing. Now, I guess since 1979, Donald Trump is the first leader to speak to the Taiwanese president, so he's opening up relations, but we still have this accord, or we still have this public recognizing of the one-child policy, Kurt, that hasn't changed.
You mean the one-China policy?
And one-China policy, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. It looks like Foxconn, according to...
That policy views Taiwan to be a breakaway province. Mm-hmm. And that's been the United States' held view. Now, Donald seems to be tampering with that a little bit, but he hasn't gone out and separated it. He's just kind of mixed it up by talking to the Taiwanese president, but he hasn't really changed the United States' view or the United States funding. See, the United States arms Taiwan, Kurt. Did you know that?
All right.
So if you want to get technical, if we're going to publicly, the United States is going to recognize China to be a one country, and we're funding the Taiwanese with arms. Aren't we arming China, Kurt?
I think it's the deal we talked about before, where you've got the two sides of the issue. You've got to try to, I guess you could say, keep them both happy.
Or you could stay out of it entirely and say, look, I'm not here to debate that. Anybody who wants to communicate with us, we'll work with them, we'll trade with them, we'll be kind to them, and we're staying out of your debate. Do we have to pick sides, Kurt?
Well, it seems like if you're, selling and protecting and dealing with Taiwan and doing that with China, that you're not really picking sides. You're doing that to both sides.
Well, you're arming one side, the Taiwanese, against the other side, and you're standing with the other side against the side that you're arming, right?
Well, as far as I can see, you know, you don't need to arm the Chinese.
You don't need to arm either of them, do you?
Well, I mean, at least we talk about you participating in trade. And, of course, we do make, you know, guns and, you know, bullets and aircraft, et cetera. And then, of course, they make, you know, Apple devices. So then we can buy all that from them while they buy a few things from us, I guess.
Yeah, so what we think is Donald Trump is playing diplomatic games here in an effort to move the island towards de facto independence. Mr. Trump's supporters say that the United States has paid way too much attention to abiding by diplomatic, quote, niceties with regards to the Taiwan issue in the past. Why should some other nation be able to say I shouldn't take a call from someone? All right, so that's the bottom line, is that we're playing games here, and I submit to you the more we stay out of it, the better off we are. I don't know why we have to stand with China and say there's a one China policy. I don't know why we got to do that. Now, they say there's nothing to prevent the U.S. from going to war to protect Taiwan. Now, Ronald Reagan, back in 82, in his speech, or a statement on the signing, on the, quote, joint signing of a U.S.-China communique, is what they call it. It called for the ultimate reduction of U.S. arms sales to Taiwan. So Ronald Reagan pushed to decrease the arms sales. I support that, Kurt. But I also support not standing with China. In other words, Ronald Reagan said to both sides of the debate on the Strait, if you will, we will not interfere in this matter or prejudice the free choice or put pressure on the people of Taiwan in this matter. At the same time, we have an abiding interest and concern that any resolution be peaceful. I will never waver from this fundamental position, said Reagan. What do you think, Kurt? There's three joint communiques that form the basis of our, quote, relationship with the China slash Taiwanese. They say we stand 100% that there's a one China. Bill Clinton asked, when he was president, would the United States defend Taiwan? And we stand for neither side doing anything rash. Now, I support this de-escalation. I support this. We're going to reduce the arms sales. We can trade with people. That doesn't mean we have to sell them weapons, though. And we don't need to basically stand, in my opinion, with China and say we, by these three, quote, government-agreed-to international communiques, pick the Chinese side that they're one China. They say that our policy is clear, Kurt. Is it clear to you?
It'd be clear as mud, if it seems like to me.
Yeah. Barack had a joint news conference in Beijing with the Chinese president. He said, it reaffirms my commitment to the one China policy based on the three agreed to communiques. There you have it, Kurt. So all I'm telling you is Donald's playing with this, but nothing has changed. We've just muddied the waters and escalated tensions, as far as I can see, Kurt. The best way, in my opinion, to build ties, reduce tensions, and promote stability would be to avoid the foreign entanglements and not pick sides and not arm them. We can decide when we trade with them what we'll trade with them. We don't have to trade weapons and training and war. There you have it. Donald says it's interesting how the United States sells Taiwan billions of dollars in military equipment, but I should not accept the congratulatory call from them. What do you think, Kurt? Interesting point. The problem is there's a no-win situation there, and that's why the founders said to avoid the foreign entanglements, and that's my whole reason for drilling into this. It does us no good to pick sides. It does us no good to arm them. It does us no good to tamper in these situations at all. kind of like how we treat the illegals in America, Kurt. There's a no man's land for the Taiwanese, right? On one hand, we back them and train them and support them and fund them and arm them. On the other hand, we don't recognize them. Isn't that kind of what we do to the illegals in America, Kurt? We fund them and train them and do everything for them, and then we say that they're not really recognized as citizens, and we just promote their illegal kind of status thing. Anyway, very interesting. All right, back to this Foxconn thing. You had more on that?
Well, it looks like there's, you know, a small little detail on the end. They say the company's also considering creating a $500 million health-related facility in the Madison area. Apparently, this is kind of connected to the whole ginseng part of the story, at least this other story that I brought up on Foxconn that, you know, I saw there. They say that this wild herb or ginseng is commonly used in traditional Chinese medicine. They did a 2012 study by the Mayo Clinic. That's not where they make mayonnaise, by the way. But they showed it reduced fatigue in cancer patients. WebMD says it also has been studied for a range of other uses, from improving mood to reducing erectile dysfunction, but no conclusions have been reached. But anyway, it was an interesting kind of connection to see that Foxconn, you know, had some interest in the whole ginseng thing, and I didn't even know that Wisconsin had a ginseng, you know, connection. But they say that we, at least the U.S., exports a lot of ginseng, I guess, to the folks in China.
Or Joseph Fair emailed me, Kurt.
Yeah, good old Joseph.
And he says, Robert Mueller now urged to look into Seth Rich's murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. I was going to ask you, at least in my opinion, that would be maybe one step in the right direction. Do you expect this will happen, Sam?
I don't know. My gut tells me probably not. But you know what? I'm grateful for Joseph Fair and WND reporting it, and I hope that they do.
Yeah.
I agree this is a good development. I just wish enough other people would report it to give it sea legs, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I commend Joseph Fair. I commend WorldNet Daily. But I don't hear others really talking about it, Kurt. Do you?
You know, it's a really, it's a story that really ought to be talked about. And that's why it gets left on the back burner, you know, Sam.
Unfortunately, factual. Hang tight, folks.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I guess Walt Disney's in the news, Kurt. The Disney company. You know, they used to be on Netflix, right? Well, they're going to break ties with Netflix. Disney plans standalone streaming video service. Says it will pull films from Netflix, writes USA Today. You want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, at least with my experience with Netflix, there's very little Disney stuff there. But maybe they're just, I mean, I've seen a few things on there, but not much. So this way, at least Disney could put maybe all their stuff on one place, huh? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I think it's a bad idea, personally. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. I mean, they have the right to do whatever they want. They're a private company, okay? So this is not about what their rights are or whatever. But they say Walt Disney made a big digital move today. Or I guess on Tuesday. Saying that they'll have their own streaming service to connect or compete with Netflix. And they plan to cut Netflix out of much of their content mix. With a, quote, Disney-branded subscription service. They say expected to launch in 19. It'll be the lead place for animated and live-action theatrical Disney and Pixar films. Now, the reason that I think it's a bad idea, Kurt, isn't because they don't have the right to do this if they want to. They do have the right to do it. But my problem is if every company that makes movies has their own movie streaming service, it makes it very difficult for the consumer. It's like a la carte on steroids, right? And instead of your bill, the whole purpose to cut the cord and bail from cable was, man, they forced me to buy all these channels I don't want to buy. So they said, all right, well, you know, we can't do a la carte because it violates our contracts and et cetera. We could never fund a cable news service if we went a la carte. I think that's a lie, but nevertheless, that's their claim. Well, internet came to the table, said, cut the cord. We'll provide these services a la carte. And thus, you know, Netflix and Amazon Video and a lot of these other things, you know, Roku and other organizations took place a la carte. But now the problem is if Disney does this, pretty soon you're going to have a la carte channels. And to get anything you want to watch, Kurt, is going to cost you a fortune 10 times more than the cable company ever costed you. Okay, they're doing this for their movies and for live sports.
I'll tell you why I don't think it's true, okay. Sam, because sure. The market won't bear it. You know, if everybody's got super high prices, then people just won't buy it.
That's right. And so what'll happen,
so
let me give you an example.
I don't see that.
So I got a Roku player. I paid $60 for it, and now I have all my channels free. All right? So now there's Netflix. There's Amazon. There's, you know, a bunch of different systems. The only one I subscribe to, Kurt, myself, personally, is, what's it called? Feelin, I think is the new name for it. It used to be called, some other name. Anyway, I pay for Feelin, which is a yearly subscription for movies that's kind of like the Hallmark Channel kind of a thing. I don't pay for Netflix. I don't pay for any of them. And then what I do is when an Amazon movie comes out that I like, I either buy it or rent it straight from Amazon on an a la carte movie basis. However, because they shut down and manipulated the market of VidAngel, now, you used to be able to buy VidAngel a movie at a time just like that, buy it, watch it, sell it back. It was incredible for renting. And the only reason they had to play that watch it, sell it back scenarios because of, again, out-of-control government regulations. But now they are forcing VidAngel to have a subscription service to do some of their stuff, right? Well, the problem is that, you know what? I want channels that I can't get at all. And so it's a la carte via regulation, via caveat, and it's becoming very expensive. And I agree with Kurt, the market won't bear it, and what'll happen is people will just reject the services. I think that's right. But I think it's regulation by government at the helm of this problem, Kurt, preventing me from picking what I really want because the costs are out of the stratosphere. And what we really need is the free market and a la carte and let people choose what they really want to without government manipulation and regulation, and then we could have what we want.
Now, you're seeing a lot of moves from, different entities, including, for example, Netflix. I heard one report where David Letterman was going to have a show on Netflix, and I don't know who else was, but... You know, you've got more players in this entertainment world, if you will. I mostly welcome competition. I wish the government would stay out of it. I do see that, the sellers of a lot of these films, you know, they want to sell them to you, but then they don't like it if you want to change them, you know, like if you want to mute part or if you don't want to watch certain things of them, they want to make you watch the whole deal. That's why I supported and still support VidAngel.
And I support and still support VidAngel, and I support the free market like you're talking about completely and reward that competition and love what's been happening. What I see happening, though, Kurt, is big business getting in bed with government to force regulatory realities on us that literally upset the complete system. That's what I see happening. Mm-hmm. So Disney's going to back into not only movies and everything else, but sports too, Kurt. They're buying a baseball distribution service, and Disney plans a big standalone streaming service. Says that it'll pull films from Netflix. I would prefer personally, and I wouldn't do this by mandating or regulation, but I'd prefer personally, hey, organizations that put together incredible services and let me just pick whatever I want to based on price and based on service and delivery and my satisfaction, and I could sign up for or reject anything I wanted, Kurt. And if Company A wants to put together a package and I don't like their package, then I'll go to Company B. That's all. And I think that we need to get the regulation out of it first and foremost, and my question is, where's the Donald? And I reject that VidAngel was forced to sell me a movie, let me watch it, and then buy it back from me in an effort where I could change my own movie if I wanted to. That was a end run around this idea that they would just change the movie and let me rent it, changed. And then now they're forcing VidAngel to have a subscription service, which is just ratcheting up the cost. I think their subscription's like $8. But in the old days, Kurt, I could get 8 movies for that with the old VidAngel. So I'm not holding VidAngel responsible. I support them completely. I'm just telling you that regulation is really in control of every decision that seems to be happening on this stage. And the answer is less regulation or no regulation, except for honoring contracts and a level playing field. I think the government needs to get out of it. And that's my whole point to bring this up. Disney's fine to do this. I personally think it's a disaster if we get too many a la carte channels, all with manipulated, regulated scenarios involved. That's disaster, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
All right. Any other update on this now that Disney's breaking off? They don't have any pricing. They won't launch it for a couple of years. I suspect that they won't be that really successful when they do anyways. But there
yeah,
you go.
I think there's a lot of options. And like you said, the Hallmark thing, you've got so many other places. You've got the Christian groups that are making movies. With the way technology is and stuff now, there's just... Hey, there's lots of things for you to watch, if you will.
Yeah, there's a new movie out, too, called I Love Sally. What is it? I Love Sally Carmichael. Have you seen that, Kurt?
I think it's supposed to be the Lucy thing, right? You know?
Doing, no. That's... I think it's okay. We Love You, Sally Carmichael.
All right.
Have you seen it?
No. I did see a movie, though, lately. I went to the theater.
Actually. All right. Well, I saw We Love You, Sally Carmichael, yesterday at the theater.
Okay.
And I think it's a tremendous movie. I think everybody ought to see it. I think it's really good. Let's see if I can fire this up here real quick here.
My name's Simon. I really hate the Siren books. Problem is, I wrote them. Nobody knows that, though, because I used the name Sally Carmichael. And the books are an enormous hit, so the world loves Sally. But me, I want to kill Sally Carmichael.
We didn't come here to talk about killing Sally Carmichael. We came to talk about Perry Quinn.
Perry Quinn is interested in being the merman?
Perry wants to meet Sally.
No, no way.
Sally Carmichael, amazing.
I need to know why you want me. Perry Quinn.
Why not Perry Quinn?
You're good, man. Smart.
Dude, Perry loves you.
Happy to help, as long as it means you're not going to sue me.
You are hilarious. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
This is just a tiny little article in a tiny little newspaper that no one's ever going to read.
I submitted the editorial to the Associated Press. Simon, you've gone viral.
This is not great. Good.
Simon Hayes is being talked about all over the country, and all because of
a... All right, so it's a movie about Simon Hayes. That's a name of a guy who wrote a book about Sally Carmichael, etc. And anyway, interesting, funny, good, clean movie, Kurt. And a guy by the name of Adam Abel was the main producer of the movie, who happens to be a personal friend of mine. And so I went and saw the movie. It's in theaters right now. And the more people that see it, the better. And this goes along with the competition slash, you know, support that which is good scenario that Sam and Kurt always talk about. But anyway, it's called We Love You, Sally Carmichael. It's a movie. And
I guess they say it was set and filmed in Salt Lake City.
Actually, that's partly true, but it was actually in American Fork. A friend of mine's house was used for the movie, Kurt.
Yeah, and they say it's a pleasantly cute little comedy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Sam goes to see the movie. What is it, Kurt?
We Love You, Sally Carmichael.
There you have it. I went and saw it, folks. It was awesome. You ought to go see it. Check it out. Give it support. Mm-hmm. It needs it. Tiny filmmakers making good, clean movies. You got to dig them, Kurt.
Imagine that.
Solutions, baby. Maybe VidAngel could have that movie coming up soon, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We could partner with all kinds of good people, and then the Patriots could get together, and then it'd be a tremendous win for America. There wouldn't even be parties involved, Kurt. Except for the party for the movie. Everybody'd have a good old time. That'd be the only parties going on. Wouldn't that be phenomenal?
Party. Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. Thanks. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Support us, would you please?